Well, we're here a little bit later than usual. Hectic morning here in my household, but always can manage to find time to bang out a podcast. Noah is joining me. He survived the hurricane. We are going balls deep. I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. Oh, welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm your host, Adam King, at AdamKing91 on Twitter. And yes, we are recording our usual show, but a little bit later. I had a busy morning running around with kids. Noah was on his way back from a little trip, managed to get through Mother Nature. He's here. He's in one piece. Noah, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, King. It was a little 2-3 day vacation. My wife had some extra PTO, so we decided to drive down to Florida. And when we were on our way down, it was like, hey, like I think it's gonna be a hurricane when we're on our way back. So we're like, I guess we'll just go enjoy the time a little bit and try and time it right that we're not in the storm too bad. So we ended up avoiding most of it. It's still pouring down rain outside our house, but we didn't get totally caught up in the hurricane, which was nice.
Very nice. It means you could be here on the show. Exactly. Hurricanes, not things that we experience over here in Australia. So, I can't sympathize. I can't relate. there you go. Now we're going to talk about ADP data. So the FBI draft only leagues are up and running. I know there's at least 28 of them because I'm in the 28th one. And we've got the first run of ADP data, which I think is from about the first 20. So about as good as you're going to get at the moment, 20 leagues. And this will be updated regularly as we roll out more leagues. But I just thought we'd pick a few players. We'd pick three each to discuss their ADP. Are they too high? Are they too low? Where are we on them? Because you were more organized than me and had yours ready to go, I'm going to let you start with your first guy.
Yeah, so let me actually pull the list back up because I guess we'll go in order of their ADP. So we'll start with Tyrese Maxey, if you're cool with that. His ADP, yep. I guess he was through 30 drafts, or he's been drafted 30 times, so maybe there's at least 30 drafts of data. 28.73, the 28th guy based on that. Which I think is pretty low. I took him, if I'm not mistaken, end of the second round in one of our early mocks, which was seven picks earlier than this, I think, six or seven. So I think this is pretty good value for Maxey. Obviously, he ranked higher than this last season and got off to a very, very good start and then was still solid throughout the year. Obviously, there's a little bit of fear about Paul George coming into town, which I know is something we've kind of discussed on the show, is that, Paul George is a very good player. He's going to take a little bit of the volume from both Embiid and Maxey, but I think that kind of offsets itself with the fact that, one, Paul George is not a ball-dominant player, so I think Maxey will still have the ball in his hand as much as he wants. Two, both, like, Paul George is old and has an injury history, and Embiid is not quite as old, but still has a very lengthy injury history. And based off last season, I think we're both pretty confident that he's not going to play 70 games. It'll probably be in the 50s. And who knows, Nick Nurse may manage his minutes. I'm not saying Nick Nurse is known for that, but he may try to manage Embiid's minutes a little bit just for the sake of, hey, we do not care about having this basketball player for the regular season. We need this guy who is one of the best basketball players in the world, healthy for the playoffs. And that gives us a chance to win the finals. So we may see Embiid just not be as good this year simply because they want him to defer to Tyrese Maxey a little bit more. So I think there's a lot of things in favor of Maxey. I think getting Maxey at 28, it's pretty much all upside there. Like you're going to more than be able to return value. I think he's at least going to be a second round guy. It has first round upside. So I'd be very happy getting the 28. I'd be pretty shocked if he was still going at 28 when we get closer to the regular season.
Yeah, I agree. I think people's initial reaction to the Paul George move was, as you said, there's now a third wheel, I suppose, on that offensive end. And how does that impact Maxey? How does that impact Embiid? I actually think a lot of the moves they've made, as you indicated there, are the management, coaching staff, that sort of thing, basically planning for Embiid resting. I think bringing in Paul George gives them a really a reliable offensive threat outside of Maxey and Embiid, which they, I mean, they've got Kelly Oubre, but so I think that takes some of that pressure off. We need Embiid out there to score. We now have Paul George there. They also picked up Andre Drummond, who you see offensively, nothing compared to Joel Embiid, but defensively on par, maybe not quite as good as Embiid, but certainly as good in terms of rebounding, securing the basketball. So I think a lot of these moves are so that Embiid can be managed, can be rested. They don't need him out there as much. And part of that is they trust Maxey. They see him as their number one option. Like, they're happy to roll with him as their number one option when Embiid is off the court. And even playing alongside Embiid. I'm fine. Maxey was the 21st ranked player in 9-cat last year. So I think if you can get him anywhere outside the second round, so 25, 27, I'd certainly do that. And I do think he probably creeps up into that 22, 23 range by the time we get to September, October. Now, my guys, I've got to remember who I sent you. all right, well, let's start. We go in order. I mean, mine are all sort of bunched. They're not too different in terms of ranks, but I'm going to start. Well, I'll start with the first name I sent you, and probably a guy that's going to cause a bit of discussion heading into draft season, and that's Cam Thomas, playing on a Brooklyn team with not a lot. Let's be honest there. They're probably going to be, if not last in the Eastern Conference, they're going to be down there with Washington, Charlotte again, who knows. So Cam Thomas last year, I mean, we call it a breakout. If you look at pure rank, and maybe not, he was 130th, but 22.5 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 0.7 steals, 2 threes. So I mean, I figure that's his floor, I think, given Mikal Bridges is not there anymore. They really have nothing to lose. Let's just see what Cam Thomas can do. He could, and I guess the hesitation here, so, I mean, his ADP, let's start with his ADP. It's in the 80s, I want to say. So it's about 80, mid-80s, so 80, 88, something in that range. That's obviously 3 rounds higher than where he finished last season. But I think the path to improvement for him is pretty clear. Like, I think if his efficiency can sort of hold around that 44-45%, I think there's some playmaking upside, not to the point where he is going to be their primary ball handler or anything like that. But if you look at, if you look at his numbers down the stretch last year, he had 6 assist game, 6, 7, 6, 5, 5, 5, 4. So he could get closer to 4.5 assists, I think. If he can bump up to a steal, which, look, he was a bit hit or miss again down the stretch last year, but if he's just on the court that much, he'll basically fall into a steal a game. So I think he only needs to make small improvements in those areas. And then if he can get up to 20, 21 shot attempts per game, which that's sort of the obvious change, he could be 25, 26 points a game. In the back of my mind and in the back of probably a lot of managers' mind is Jordan Poole from last year. We thought, hey, he's going to step into this role. He's going to be a top 50 player. And anyone who drafted him got burnt, basically. So I think that's where the hesitation might come on Cam Thomas, but I just drafted him in my draft only league with the 8th pick of the 7th round. So I don't know what that is.
80.
Which I think is fine. Like, I'm okay to take him there. It's, you're sort of entering that range of hit or miss. If you take a hit, if he bottoms out, then you can drop him. But I feel like he's going to be at least 22, 23 points a game. And even that in itself is valuable.
Yeah. I mean, he was at 22, 23 points per game last season. The final 2 months, he was 85th on Basketball Monster, 25 points per game on 20 shot attempts. So it's right around what you were saying. You mentioned some of the playmaking. I think that he had some quote this summer talking about playmaking in some capacity and how he wanted to showcase that more this year. But I saw it a while ago. I'm not going to be able to find it. But maybe it doesn't end up maybe I'm totally making it up. I don't think I am, but I could be. But he did show that a little bit. And I think just the fact that, they're running it back with the same team as of now, they'll probably make some more trades. Mikal Bridges is gone. That's 16, 17 shots a game that need to go to someone. Cam Thomas is not going to hesitate to shoot those whatsoever. I think in the 80s is totally fine to take him. And if you're looking for points and threes, yeah, he's a guy that's going to be able to help you. And you mentioned Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole was going a few rounds earlier than this. So, and he was, a little bit more proven as a fantasy commodity than Cam Thomas. We know Cam Thomas can score. Hopefully he can do more than that. But yeah, in the 80s is totally fine, especially with what we're probably what everyone's kind of expecting from Brooklyn this year is they're going to be the team that is in contention for Cooper Flagg. And I guess the main concern would be, is Cam Thomas going to be a shutdown candidate come March-ish?
Yeah, look, I guess in theory he could be, but yeah. I really don't see him contributing to winning basketball. So it's not like we need to get him off the court so we can lose more. I think they're going to lose with or without him on the court. So anyway, time will tell there. Speaking of Mikal Bridges, who has moved to New York, he is your next player. So what are you thinking regarding his ADP?
Yeah, so his ADP is significantly better than it was last season. It was at, 55.96, right up at 56 through 28 drafts. And I don't know, I think that is still a little bit high for me. So he was 90th last season. Obviously, you're getting 82 games out of him, so you can consider that as a little bit of a boost over anybody else. Just the fact that he's going to be available for more games and potentially 10 to 15 more games than everyone else. So that's pretty helpful. It is kind of right around his range of his production in his final seasons in Phoenix, where he was kind of in a similar offensive role to what he should be in New York, where he had Devin Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, also there looking for shots. Whereas in New York, he'll have Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, OG Anunoby to an extent, as well as other guys like Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart. This is a stacked team. So I don't know. I think he's a guy that he's just kind of solid across the board. He doesn't dominate any individual category. He had the stretch with Brooklyn where he was a really reliable scorer. But if you're looking at his numbers from his last full season in Phoenix, where he was 55th, in 9 cap per Basketball Monster, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 1.5 threes. He was an efficient shooter. He doesn't turn the ball over. I'm expecting that to be fine. So, yeah, I think he's a really good roto player just off the sense that he's going to be available for every game and he's not going to hurt you anywhere. But I don't really see him being worthy of a fifth-round pick in a redraft league. A head-to-head league.
Yeah. Yeah, look, he's an interesting one. As you said, his ADP is a lot better this year than it was last year. He was going way too high last year. 50, sort of, that feels like his ceiling, I think, in Brooklyn. Right. So I think if you're of the opinion that, hey, I'm just getting a fifth round guy here and I'm happy with that and you're not really looking for upside, it's fine. But you read through his numbers there in Phoenix his last season and all of those are very replicable. He could do that easily, I think. The difference is if you look at why was he ranked 55 there, where you look at his numbers last year, where he had almost 20 points, 2.5 threes, 4.5 rebounds, 3.5. It's the efficiency. So he during that season in Phoenix, he was 53.4% from the field. Season before that, he was 54.3. Last year, he was 43.6. So that's a 10% drop-off in field goal percentage. And I guess what we're thinking here is that coming into New York and not having to be the main option on offense, his efficiency can go back up. That's
right.
Really what we're looking at. If he can get back up over 50%, last year, if you plug those numbers in with 50% shooting, he's probably a top 60, top 50 player. So it makes a difference. I think it's okay, but I'd be more comfortable getting him probably around later. Just so that there's a little bit of meat on the bone there in terms of value. But again, relatively safe. And as you alluded to, 82 games, they'll find a way to play him 83 or 84 probably somehow. So you're getting a guy that in totals value is usually going to beat his per game value. But, I mean, you're only not injury prone until you are injury prone. So
right.
Who knows? Like his durability is pretty incredible. So I don't know. I feel like there's got to be an injury coming at some point, doesn't there? I don't know. He can't be that lucky.
I mean, hopefully not. I'd love hopefully to see him not. Play in two games again.
Yeah. Anyway, my next guy, again, in that range, like I said with Cam Thomas, I've gone with Denny Avdija, who has gone to Portland and coming off a career year and very similar rank last year to Cam Thomas. So he was the 131st ranked player. His ADP was, I think it's around 105, isn't it? 100. So just after pick 100 at the moment is where he's going. Last year, his stats, 14.7 points, 7.2 rebounds, 3.8 assists, 0.8 steals, 1.2 threes, just over 50% from the field and almost, at 74% from the free throw line. So where do the improvements come for him, I guess? 130 last year. As I said, his ADP is 105-ish, so he's about two rounds higher than where he finished last year. I like Avdija. I think I considered drafting him in that league that I mentioned. I considered drafting him with my last draft pick. I ended up going with Onyeka Okongwu at 89 just because it's a two-center league. And it's all active spots, so I needed a second center. So I got Okongwu. I considered Avdija there at 89. And I like his game. I think he can do a bit of everything. He can handle the ball. He's a good rebounder, efficient. I think he'll be better from the free throw line than 74%. So for me, though, the worry is their roster. They still have Jeremy Grant there. What are his minutes look like? So I think at 100, he's worth taking a shot at because I think he could be top. He's probably got top 80 upside, top 70 maybe. But it sort of depends on what Portland do with their roster and like where does Robert Williams – I know Robert Williams doesn't play the same position, but where does he fit in? Because if they have three centers, they're going to have to shift guys down. There's a whole lot of question marks there. So I don't know. What do you think about his ADP at 100? Is that reasonable?
I don't hate it. I just feel like it's probably a little earlier than I would take him. I like him as a player. I think we're looking at it. A lot of the hype around him this summer after he was traded was, oh, that's a great trade for Portland because he's a talented player. Like, getting him for just the 14th pick in a weak draft, like that's great value for Portland. He played well down the stretch last season. Like, I really like this for Portland. I think, and I agree with that, but it's like they gave up the 14th pick in a weak draft to get him. So like how much do they have invested in him? Probably like less than they do for guys like Shaedon Sharpe, who they spent a number 6 pick on, or maybe it was 7, somewhere around there. So who starts for Portland, who's seeing the majority of the minutes. I think it's something that we'll have to pay attention to throughout training camp and preseason to figure that out more. But I'm not optimistic that they're going to force feed him minutes or that there's a ton of upside taking him at pick 100 or around pick 100. I think there's definitely a scenario where it works out really well for him and he has a really good season in Portland because either players get injured or he just is better and they just play him more. And that's a very possible scenario. But I think it's more likely that everyone just kind of gets stuck in the rotation of there's just too many young guys here that we're trying to figure out who's good and who fits together and how we're going to build this team. And it works for stretches for him, but it's not overall just breakout season.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. Portland are a funny roster, actually, because they're obviously not going to be a great team. But if you look down their roster, they've got a lot of unknowns in terms of production minutes. I'm just sort of reading through their depth chart here. So Anthony Simons, who he is probably somewhat of a known quantity at this point. Sort of who he is, what he does. But we don't know how they view him. Do they view him as a piece of their future? Because they have Scoot Henderson there, who I thought finished the season quite well last year. They have Shaedon Sharpe coming back off injury. Then, as you said, they've got Denny Avdija, Jeremy Grant, Matisse Thybulle is still there. They re-signed him. They've got Tamani Kamara, Jabari Walker, who were both interesting last year. And then there's a centre rotation of Ayton, Klingon, Robert Williams, Duop Reith is still there. I don't know. It's really weird. So there is some risk here because Avdija could very well come off the bench and play 23 minutes, or he could start and play 31 minutes. We really don't know.
Yeah.
So I think anywhere past pick 100, if you like him, if you like him as a player, take a chance on him. So his ADP is probably going to hover around that 100 mark, but in some drafts he'll go at 130 and then others he might go at 90. So, it's a weird one. But I do like Portland for fantasy this year per game. Season long, I'm not sure because we know.
Before the trade deadline?
So that's right. In the first few months, I like them. After that, tough. Your third guy, who did you go with?
Well, I'll mention him because we can talk about him for a while. But before that, I was just looking through the ADP stuff, and Avdija is 106, and Jeremy Grant is about a round later at 117. 117. So, I don't know. I think everybody's very – that was just one I just noticed, but everybody's very much oh, my gosh, Jeremy Grant didn't play basketball for the final month. Yeah. And sure, that might happen again, but he was a little bit disappointing last year, but I'm more confident in Jeremy Grant than I am Denny Avdija, especially if I'm getting him around later, just with the understanding that, hey, there's a decent chance that Portland is not in contention for a playing spot whatsoever by February, and he is done by March 1st. But Avdija might miss some time down the stretch too, if that's the case. But
yeah,
because we've talked about Portland taking enough on this podcast, but just something I noticed. But the last guy that I have is our king, Dyson Daniels, who we've also talked about a lot on this podcast. But when you sent me, or I got the ADP data from B-Dub, very interesting. He's 160th on the list. His average ADP is 150.25 through 16 drafts. So he's either going undrafted in some, or he just hasn't been drafted yet because those drafts are still finishing up, whatever reasoning. I'd be very, very surprised if his ADP was this low in 2 months, a month and a half, whatever it is, before really draft season starts. Obviously, this is very early data, but he's got so much upside just as a player, and he's got so much upside in the situation in Atlanta. He played well in the Olympics. He's going to fit everything Atlanta needs in a backcourt partner alongside Trae Young, especially if he's able to knock down perimeter shots. I think that's going to be the one thing where it's how good is he from beyond the arc? How much of a threat is he from beyond the arc? Because everything else, I think, fits flawlessly, which is something we've talked about. So, yeah, I think if I'm able to get him in the last round of every draft, I will 100% do that. And more often than not, I'm not going to take the risk of waiting till the last round. I'll probably try and get him two rounds earlier if I can.
Yeah, I think, anyone who watches this knows that we're both relatively high on Dyson. And nice little shot at Australia there by saying that he played well in the Olympics.
Well, I didn't want to lie to in the Olympics. I didn't want to lie. I wanted to look like I have been following it, and I have, yeah. So I didn't want to be wrong.
Yeah, no. I picked up on that. I appreciate you pointing out the fact that we lost after. The biggest comeback in Olympic history. So there you go. Australia's in the record books for all the wrong reasons. we don't need to talk about that. Look, he did play well in the lead-up games during the Olympics. And, yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I hope he starts. I think Bogdan makes more sense coming off the bench as that sort of primary scoring option in the second unit. They may very well go with Bogdan Bogdanovic as a starter over Dyson Daniels, but I don't know. Training camp, I guess, will determine what those roles look like. I mean, they've probably got an idea already. Dyson, last round, I'd absolutely take him if he's available in the last round. And I think I've said on this show, and I'm probably stupidly high on him, but I'd consider him sort of where in the draft, in that draft I'm in now, we're up to pick 94. So my next pick will be 102 or something. 104. I'd consider him there. I probably won't take him. Maybe in the next round, so it'd be nice. So 10th round, I'd consider him in the 10th round because as I've said, and as you know, once you get into the 9th, 10th, 11th round, you're basically taking flyers there. You're trying to draft for upside. And I think he has that upside. I don't think, as I've said, he won't be a high-volume scorer, but he can get some assists. He's good defensively, should be relatively efficient, I think. So, yeah, very unknown because he hasn't had an opportunity to play a significant role for more than about 4 or 5 games. So there is some risk, but, yeah, I think that current ADP will certainly – I mean, anyone that watches us – he's going to consider taking him higher. So I think his ADP probably comes in to sort of the 140 range. And then some people like me would go higher and then other people just won't be interested in him. Now, my last guy that I went with is Jalen Duren, and I've spoken about him on my show as well. I'm relatively high on him. So, I mean, clearly the starting center in Detroit, I like what Detroit have done this offseason. I think they're finally potentially moving in the right direction in terms of building a roster and getting some pieces. I'm not convinced because it's Detroit and they've had such a bad run. But Jalen Duren is still only 20, so very young. Third year in the NBA, was the 77th ranked player last year. Only played 61 games, but that's a combination of injury and Detroit. His ADP, I think, was in Duren 59. So, yeah, around 60, his ADP at the moment. So that's obviously around and a half higher than where he went last year. And if we look at his numbers from last year, he was basically at 14 points, close to 12 rebounds. 62 from the field, 79 from the free throw line. So, I mean, that in itself is a nice little bonus because getting a center that can shoot close to 80% from the free throw line, we know that there aren't a lot of them. For me, it's this will come down to defense. Can he get his blocks up to 1.2, maybe 1.3? He was at 0.8 last year. He was at 0.9 during his rookie season. I just feel like as he, like I said, third year in the league, he'll get used to the pace of the league, reading offenses, positioning himself better. I just think that with his athleticism, youth, height, everything, length, that he basically has to get to at least a block a game this year, if not slightly more. And that, as we know, it's such a low-volume category, so you go from 0.8 to 1.2, that's a 50% increase. That probably takes him into the 60s. So I'm probably a little higher on him than others, but I'd be okay considering him, what's pick 60? That's the back end of the fifth, early sixth round. I'm okay taking him there, I think.
I don't think I'm quite as optimistic. I don't know. And he's young. He's athletic. He's got a lot of upside. He had a good block rate in college. He just doesn't seem to be figuring things out defensively in the NBA. And I'm hoping, for the sake of Detroit, that he's able to kind of take a step on that end. And if he is able to increase his blocks, it's not hard. 0.8 to 1.2, like, that's realistic. I guess I'm just not optimistic on that happening. And just a sense of, is taking him at the back end of round five, is that taking away all the upside there? Like, is he going to be significantly better than that? Is he even going to get to that point of being like a fifth round guy? I would probably take him, and actually probably wouldn't get him at this point if he's going late fifth round. Probably be more comfortable taking him a round or two later. But I'm not expecting a breakout season from Jalen Duren.
Yep. And so I sort of picked him as well because I looked at through the ADP data, and as you know, managers tend to have to reach a little bit to get centers, whether they're in a two-center league or they just need to fill that center spot. So centers do tend to go off the board quite quickly. So that probably leans into that idea that he will go higher rather than lower just because people need a center, especially a center who can shoot free throws. But if you look in that range where he went, so as I said, he went around 60. So we've got Rudy Gobert at 54, Jared Allen at 56, 57, DeAndre Ayton exactly the same, Vucevic at 59, Claxton at 63. So we've got quite a few, like a little run of centers there. I guess if you like, and for me, I looked at those other names and would I take Jalen Duren over Rudy Gobert? Not if I needed blocks, but anything else, yes. Would I take him over Jarrett Allen? Probably. Would I take him over? Well, I don't like Ayton, so I'd take him over Ayton, even though Ayton is offensively, he's a better option. I'd still go Duren, but that's more personal choice. Would I go him over Vucevic? Probably. Claxton? Maybe not. I think I'd go Claxton over Duren. So maybe we could have talked about Claxton there. But would you, like, I guess hearing what you said about Duren there, you'd probably take most of those guys over him?
I don't know. I think just looking at this, none of those centers excite me or make me want to, like, take them in that range. So I think I'm going to try and probably get, you know, whether it's an early one like Omb or Jokic or a Chet, a Sabonis, a Şengün, a Bam, like a couple, like probably two of those guys in the first four rounds. Not two of those guys I listed because, yes, I would love to get Omb and Jokic in the first two picks, but those guys going in that range, like a Cat at 36, Evan Mobley 41, before kind of getting into like those centers that you mentioned, because I look down and it's like, we're looking towards the 90s, early hundreds. Like Dan Gafford is at 91, or Derek Lively's 113, Zach Edey 111, Pirtle 104, Okongwu 99. Like guys in those range, I think I'd just be happier taking a center early and a center outside the top 100 or around 100 instead of getting some of those middle round guys, even though, I mean, they're solid. Like Jared Allen's very solid. Like Vooch is going to be solid. Claxton, I think, is going to be pretty good. But I don't know. None of those guys are like really getting me excited over some of like the wings and guards kind of going in that range.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that was, I mean, in that, as I said, that draft only league that I'm in, I went with Okongwu at whatever I got him at 90-ish, and that was, I looked at Duren earlier, and for that reason, I went, no, look, I'm going to go another couple of rounds here and then grab a center in the 90s or the 100 range. And I'm happy with Okongwu. We've only got a couple of minutes, but you're talking about unexciting or boring centers in that range. If you slide down the ADP data a little bit there to pick 74, 75, we've got Mark Williams. Yeah. Does he excite you?
You know, just that we're saying it out loud, I need to just like extend an apology to Dan Vespers, because this is like the exact opposite of what he talks about every single year. So maybe I need to, you know, consider that approach as well. But I don't know. Like, Mark Williams, I know he's good when he's on the court, but he played, I want to say, like 41 games as a rookie and then significantly less last year.
Yeah.
I think I might need to hear an exciting, optimistic training camp report before I feel good about drafting Mark Williams here, because if there's anything but entire complete optimism about, oh, his back's been healthy for months, he's been working out hard, we're really excited, he's going to start day one, be good to go 30 minutes. Like, yeah, I'm happy to take Mark Williams there. But I need to get that report. I don't think I've seen one this summer.
And we probably won't. It's Charlotte. Right. So, Mark Williams actually is probably someone else I'd consider there. And I tend to probably be too positive, but he was a top 60 guy when healthy. That back injury is really concerning, but he's sort of Jalen Duren, but with the defense. So he already gets blocks and some steals. Not as good from the free throw line, but not terrible. So yeah, I like both of them. If you've drafted pretty safe, I think that would also lend to being able to take a little bit of a risk if you need a center there. But yeah, look, I mean, that's the beauty of draft season. Everyone has different opinions, and that's why guys are available and guys aren't available. So I need to go and do school stuff again. I'll let you head out. What have you got coming up on your show over the next week or two?
I'm continuing that series going through each position. I'm talking about dynasty guys, and you know, I'm recording another one Friday night. Going to try and get some other like non-fantasy guys to come in and talk about some of the rookies and then potentially some rookies we need to be a look out for next year. I guess draft prospects, not rookies. And then probably do a good bit of mocks, try and get, I don't know. I just want to get a ton of people that either haven't already been on the Take Me Later podcast, or guys that already have been can come back. Just try and get a bunch more guests this summer before the season starts and everything gets busy. And I only do like one podcast a week, and it's just a last minute 45 minutes, something I'm throwing together. Try and plan out as much as possible and have a lot more fun over the next 2.5 months.
Sounds good. And we're both actually in a mock draft in what, 2 days or something. We're going to be in another analyst mock draft together. So we might be able to talk about that next week on the show and see if how that, I think it's a fairly shallow draft. I think we're only drafting 100 players. So 10 teams, 10 rounds. So should give us a good, a draft like that is interesting because you're not going to the 13th or the 14th round.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to take a flyer a bit earlier. So it'll be interesting to see who goes in the 80s and the 90s. Compared to a normal draft, I suppose. Anyway, that will do it for today's show. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Thumbs up, subscribe, like, all of that stuff. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We will be back next week, probably usual time, 5 p.m. Sure. Eastern, hopefully. It'll depend on school stuff. It always does. But we'll be back next week, and we'll find something to talk about. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.